Welcome back to the Townships at 12. I'm your host, Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and you're listening to CJMQ 88.9 FM, The Cube. In the second part of today's show, I will be speaking with Mrs. Lise Lapointe from the Bohn Museum, and she will be talking about their exhibition going on right now, and it's all about buttons. I will also have some health news for you and some music. So let's get the show started with a song called The Visitor, and it's by Sienna Spiro. Today on the Townships at 12, we're taking a closer look at something small that has played a surprisingly big role in the history of fashion, the button. An intriguing new exhibition at the Bohn Museum explores the fascinating world of buttons, from their decorative origin thousands of years ago to the role in clothing design and social status. Titled Buttonology, do you know what it is? The exhibition showcases an impressive collection of buttons that traces their use in Quebec from the late 19th century to the 1970s. Joining me to tell us more about the colorful and surprising exhibition is my guest this afternoon, Mrs. Lise Lapointe. Maureen Dillon Teasdale for The Cube, and today I'm really pleased to welcome Mrs. Lise Lapointe again to the Townships at 12. Now, Mrs. LaPointe is from the Bowl Museum, so welcome, Mrs. LaPointe.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you have a fascinating exhibition going on right now, Buttonology. Could you explain to our listeners what that is? Do you know what it is, and what exactly does buttonology mean?
The word buttonology is a bit more explicative than the term in French, which is fibulanomiste, since in buttonology there is a word button. So I think people will know that the exhibit is about buttons. Speaking of the word fibulanomiste, it's a bit more complicated, I would say. It's of course a French term, which is derived from the word fibule, which means a brooch or a clasp. And the suffix nomiste is often used for collectors like numismat, which is the word for a coin collector. And furthermore, the word compunophoria, it's a bit hard to say, is the irrational fear of buttons, if you didn't know. And if you have this phobia, I would suggest that this exhibit might not be for you.
Okay, that is really interesting. I hadn't heard that before.
No, me neither.
Okay. Now, buttons are something most of us barely notice on our clothing, so why did the museum decide to dedicate an entire exhibition to them?
As you know, most museums have many collections. The Bowl Museum's first vocation is textiles and clothes. So for annual exhibits, we like to show objects and accessories related to fabrics and clothes.
Okay. What will visitors discover when they walk into the museum this time?
I think visitors will rediscover buttons. They will learn that they have many names. For example, we have glow buttons, glow bubble buttons, which sort of sparkle. We have some mourning buttons, which are black and made of glass or jet stone. There's toggle buttons, which are mostly made of wood. There's little buttons, too, with small lithographs inside, with a portrait or a small scene. There's crocheted buttons made of wool or cotton. And the ones I prefer is the Austrian minis from Austria. They're delicately decorated, and they're really pretty. And, of course, we're showing crested and military buttons, policemen buttons, customs officers, and as well as train engineer buttons.
Okay, that's quite a collection. Now,
yes, it is.
You explained that the origins of buttons go all the way back to about 2000 BC in the Indus Valley. How were buttons used at that time?
Buttons were more decorative than functional in many ancient cultures. They were often used in clothing as ornaments more than functional, like I said.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, it's interesting that buttons were first used mainly for decoration rather than fastening clothes. When did they begin to serve the functional purpose we know today?
Not until the 13th century in Europe.
Okay, 13th century in Europe. Now, during the 17th and 18th centuries, buttons were actually a symbol of social status. And how could a button reveal someone's place in society?
By that time, buttons had become an essential part of European fashion and highly decorative, as well as a status symbol, like you said. It was common to see numerous buttons as decorative elements on clothing if you had money. So that's how they could tell.
Okay. And how did the Industrial Revolution change the world of buttons and clothing design?
The Industrial Revolution radically changed button production with the advent of machinery. Buttons could be mass-produced, making them accessible to general population. Buttons began to be made from cheaper materials such as bone, wood, and eventually plastic like bakelite and celluloid in the 19th and the 20th century.
Okay. Now, the exhibition features a large button collection from the museum. Can you tell us a little bit about how this collection was built?
The museum, as you know, receives many, many donations of all kinds. Buttons were something that we really want to acquire since they go hand in hand with textile. And we knew that to start a collection of them could be used for a future exhibit.
Okay. And what time period does the collection at the museum cover? And what does it tell about fashion in Quebec from the late 19th century to the 1970s?
The collection has buttons from the late 19th century up to today. These days, in our these days in our fashion, plastic buttons have become the most common type, making them affordable for almost everyone. But of course, there is still a wide range of other materials, including metal, wood, and fabric.
Mm-hmm. Are there any particular unusual or beautiful buttons in the exhibition that visitors shouldn't miss?
Yes, and I think they're my favorite. They're mother of pearl buttons, which are bigger than the usual ones you might have seen. We also have big circular-shaped buttons made of lucite. That's another kind of transparent plastic. And let's not forget the button cards, which are always very interesting in design.
Mm-hmm. Buttons can be made from so many materials. What are some of the most interesting materials, do you think, represented in the collection?
I would say the ones I mentioned before, the mother of pearl buttons, they demanded a lot of work in the old days. In the exhibit, visitors will see photos and information on how huge piles of shells were collected in order to make these buttons. So that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Sounds really beautiful. Buttons may be small, but they can be incredibly detailed, we've seen. What kind of craftsmanship goes into designing them?
For a long time, buttons were cut and pierced mostly by hand. Artisans used to carve bones into buttons. Make buttons out of diverse materials, including seashells, iron, metal, wood, glass, and ceramic. They would carefully cut, shape, and drill to give character to each button. These days, machines do most of the work.
Okay, that's true. How do buttons influence the overall design of a garment, do you think?
I would say by acting as both functional and decorative, focal points that define the style, the silhouette, and the quality of the piece.
Okay. Now, do fashion designers today still think about buttons as decorative elements, or are they mostly just practical now?
Buttons are often chosen to enhance the visual appeal of clothes. We saw in 2025 and are seeing this year in 2026 trends such as statement elements for buttons, oversized, mismatched, or unique, and often non-functional additions to the clothes.
Okay, that's really interesting. What do you hope visitors will notice or think about differently after seeing this exhibition?
I think they will learn that this object is more than just a button. They will rediscover the many shapes, the materials used to make them. They might also see it more as a decoration for their clothes than before.
Mm-hmm. And is this exhibition something that will appeal only to people interested in fashion, do you think? Or is there something here that history lovers will enjoy as well?
I think for both. And even people like me, we just love buttons because my mom was a seamstress and I grew up with a lot of buttons and jars. It's also fun, and it's a fun and colorful exhibit for children to learn where buttons come from and maybe start a collection of their own.
Mm-hmm. That sounds
that
like a lot
fun.
Of fun. Yeah, a lot of fun. Now, for listeners who may be curious, when can they visit the exhibition and how long will it be on display?
The exhibit is at the Bold Museum in Quaticook on 96 Newton Street. For more information, you may contact the museum at 819-849-6560, extension 2, or on our website, Facebook, or Instagram page.
Okay.
You may also write an email. The exhibit is already accessible to view, and it's until November 2026.
Okay, that is certainly a nice long exhibit. Lots of
yes,
chance.
Yes, it's our annual exhibit.
Okay. Finally, if people look at the buttons on their own clothes tonight, what might they notice differently after learning about this history?
Maybe they'll notice more of what kind of buttons adorn their clothes and appreciate the design. Or do they have a 2 or 4-hole flap buttons on their clothes? Or maybe it will be mostly shank buttons, which are small pieces attached to the back of the button. They might also discover that they have some fabric-covered buttons that they had never noticed.
Mm-hmm. Anything we left out that you'd like to add, Mrs. Lapointe?
That the exhibit has a contest. When you visit the last 2 years, we love making little contests for visitors. So visitors can guess how many buttons are in a jar right now, and they may win free passes to visit the museum for other upcoming exhibits.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Well, we thank you very much. We've been talking with Mrs. Lise Lapointe from the Bold Museum about the button exhibition going on right now. So thanks very much, and all the best.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
And next up, we have some health news here for you on the Townships at 12. Now, as we move through the changing seasons, it's a good time to check on both our physical and mental well-being. Let's start with digestion, something many people quietly struggle with. Conditions like irritable bowel syndrome, often called IBS, can cause symptoms like cramping, bloating, and changes in bowel habits. While there's no one-size-fits-all solutions, some daily habits can make a big difference. Eating regular meals, staying hydrated, and identifying personal trigger foods like caffeine, fatty foods, or certain fibers can help reduce flare-ups. Stress also plays a major role, so finding ways to relax, whether it's walking, gentle stretching, or simply taking quiet time, is just as important as what's on your plate. Speaking of stress, let's talk about emotional health. Did you know that something as simple as crying can actually be beneficial? Shedding tears can help release built-up tension and may even lower stress hormones. It's a natural way your body resets emotionally, so it's okay to let those tears flow when you need to. Another topic many people notice this time of year is fatigue. As daylight shifts and routines change, energy levels can dip. Getting outside for even a short daily walk, especially in natural light, can help regulate your sleep cycle and improve mood. Aim for consistent sleep and try to limit screen time before bed. Finally, a quick reminder about listening to your body. Whether it's persistent digestive discomfort, unusual fatigue, or ongoing pain, don't ignore symptoms that last more than a few weeks. Checking in with a healthcare provider can bring reassurance and solutions. Taking care of your health doesn't have to be complicated. Small, consistent steps can lead to meaningful improvements in how you feel every day. And that's our health news today on the Townships at 12. I would like to thank my guests on today's show, Dominique Trudeau, Executive Director of Intergenerations Quebec. In the first half hour, check out their website, www.intergenerationsquebec.org. And in the second part of today's show, Mrs. Lise Lapointe from the Bone Museum in Quaticook. Plan a trip to the museum and see the exhibition about buttons going on right now. It's a great family activity. Also, if you have a community event coming up and you would like to send me a short email, I will announce it for free on my show. Or if you have an idea for a future interview, please email me. Our email address is cjmqnews, that's all one word, cjmqnews@gmail.com. We will close today's show with a new song by music artist Chuck Eaton, and the song is called A Sweet Harmony. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Townships at 12 here on The Cube, CJMQ 88.9 FM, and have a great afternoon.
See the magic of moonlight, it touches the sea and sets the tides. Waves sweep the shore. It's like the magic that you do. You touch my heart and set my mood. You always cleanse my heart so. I wouldn't have known love if you were not in this world. In your arms I found the meaning of my life. You put an end to my past. This time I knew, this time I had.
Whatever you face, I'll swing at your gate.
the way